Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Oh, I was panicking for a minute. I thought I couldn't find one of my good pins. The Pilot G2, great pin. Great pin. Oh, yeah, the G stands for gel. You have, what is that, a Pelopin? A Pelopin?
A Pelopin? I'm so cheap. I have like 1,000 of these sitting around. No.
I actually bought these.
I know.
I mean, we're talking, when you look at that is a pin. When you, we're talking beautiful. Real money.
You are.
Isn't that a way to get into the name of the show? Mm, hi,
good one.
I'm Don. Tom's over there. Guess what we're going to be doing? Talking real money. Why? Because it's important. It is. It's important to you. It's important to your family. It's important to your existence. It's important to your future. It's important to really understand it. And we're going to try and help you do that. Understand it. Increase your financial freedom while reducing your fiscal fear. Here on this show.
I literally don't know how to respond because you're just going, you're doing so well, sir.
I'm just.
Just going to stand up and salute. And
I think it was because I was listening when I was at lunch. I was listening to Chakra Vedant on NPR. And it was talking about how people who know what they're doing sometimes choke and how you can avoid choking. And I think that helped me avoid choking here in the introduction to the day.
You're talking about choking like in gagging, but not as in choking from food.
No. Like choking in a race or choking at a test. Or
this should be easy, but you blow it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was trying not to choke today. Today. Tom wants to talk about 1,000. I, on the other hand, want to talk about 10,000. I think 10,000 is
I think 10,000 is
a much better number. He likes 1,000, and I'm really opposed to him even using 1,000. You know why I'm opposed? He knows why I don't want him using 1,000. But I'm gonna go ahead because I am a gentleman. I am gonna let Tom start with his foolish 1,000, fiscally foolish 1,000. Point story, 1,000 points of light,
1,000 points
of darkness.
Fall. Yeah, exactly. What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Actually, 1,008.
Ooh.
That's how many points the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which will never be mentioned again.
Don't say the Dow, it hurts. S&P
fell
500. Yeah, okay, that's better.
Lost 141, 3.4%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tech heavy NASDAQ down 497 or 3.9%. What the world happened? One quick Friday and I guess
you know why because the silly Fed guys are vacationing in the mountains.
You wait for the smoke signals.
Yeah, well, you get up in the mountains and I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to be a survivalist. Let the whole world burn. I don't care.
No. Well, we didn't get our Powell pivot. Which everyone was waiting for. That's what they're calling it. When's he going to say that's enough and we're going to do the other thing where we lower rates and everybody's happy again?
We're such an alliterative species.
And we're looking at another 0.5% or maybe 0.75% rise in interest rates hike in the next Fed meeting.
Okay.
But it's not as bad as you think. I mean, my brother staying with me, who I love dearly, but he's very emotional about all this. And he's like, we just gave up everything we got from when it was down. I said, no, you didn't. So I looked it up. The S&P 500 is still up 12% from its June low. So it's not
Whiny libs.
Yeah. And year to date, by the way, global portfolio down 11.1%. Okay.
Wait, year to date?
Year to date.
Wait a minute.
All stock, 100% stock down 11.1. What were you thinking?
I'm trying to actually make a point by saying, really, it's not as bad as everybody seems to think it is? It's not.
Yeah,
not that bad. How about a 60-40?
60-40 is down a whopping 8.3%.
Those bonds did pay off then, in a way, didn't they?
Nah, they're still down nine.
No, but they paid off. Because the total portfolio is only down 8, which is a more palatable decline than 11. Right?
Yeah, but bonds don't work for this kind of thing.
Apparently they did something. They did something. All right, let's talk about
10,000
quick.
How are you kicking in 10,000?
10,000, okay. That's the amount of money my daughter's getting back.
Ah, this is back to the student loan situation.
And I was here. We were talking. And I said, what was your payment on that $10,000? She goes, about $125 a month. I said, so what are you going to do with that $125? She goes, I don't know. That's why I thought we should maybe talk a little bit about what people should do with that $125. Because you hear that, oh, well, I got another, I can take out $10,000 in more debt. No, you can't. You can't. But there are some really smart things you can do to make your life. You think it's better now with the $10,000 reduction? Just wait till you use it for something good.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
I was going to do something really bad when we came back from the break, but I decided against it. I was going to give out the phone number, but I was going to do it like this. Hey, blank, call 855-935-TALK. Okay, blank, call 855-935-TALK. Or Al Blank, call 855-935-TALK.
Or it didn't work. Nobody called, apparently.
Because I didn't
was
put
busy.
The word in.
Ah, okay. He was very busy, Mr. Blank.
Because apparently, if you say, hey, blank, it actually causes something to happen. I don't know. It works for me. I can do it in the car, and it freaks my wife out sometimes. I just go, hey, sir. Anyway.
Yeah, you're good at that. You are. Dinner will be served when you arrive. All right, I've been waiting.
$10,000 bucks.
About $100 a month.
About $100, $125. Somewhere between $100 and $125 a month.
I've got my ideas. What are yours?
I have two massively powerful ideas. Well, these are the two biggest ideas. Third is probably smaller.
Okay.
I'm trying to make it easier on people. Yep. By the way, our phone number is 855-935-TALK. Did you know that? Give us a call.
Mr. Blank?
Yeah.
Give us a ring.
Mr. Blank? First and foremost and absolute, I know that almost all of you who have student loan debt have credit card debt. I know you do.
Pay down those expensive. I would say anything, by the way, over 5%, you should pay it down.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly when you're into the credit card rates, because no credit card is giving you five, except as a tease.
No.
What they're giving you is 18 or 24 or 29 if you're young. And so it's a two-step process. One, you pay off the highest rate debt first.
They call it a snowball, I believe.
And then when you pay that card off, you get a giant-sized piece of paper and a huge magic marker, and you write on it, never, ever carry a balance on my Visa card. And you pin it up on your mirror in the bathroom where you can't miss it and sign it.
Okay, what's number two?
Number two.
That's a good start.
Once you get all that stuff paid off, the big stuff, then, ladies and gentlemen, make your future life so much better. If you're in your 20s or 30s and you take that $125 a month and you put that into a nice stock-oriented Roth IRA with Vanguard or Fidelity or Schwab or Ameritrade or whomever, and you buy something just like VT and you keep putting money into that for the next 40 years.
I was going to say 25.
But you put it in there for the next 40 years, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars in almost any scenario.
Okay, so the Roth IRA, we agree on that. We agree on that one. And we agree on the debt pay down. Makes sense. But I had two others.
You have two more? So we're giving people four today?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think it's
bonus round.
Yeah. So one of them was down payment to fill your gas tank.
These are the Tom smartass cracks.
And then the other one, because I still can't believe this business even exists any longer, because we used it twice and I almost fell over from the cost. Go ahead and order DoorDash for you and maybe one or two other people. Because both times I got it, it was like $80 or something for a hamburger. I was like, are you kidding me?
It was so funny yesterday, Mike, because when my daughter is here, my daughter was here. And my daughter really, she's a very picky eater.
Yes, she is.
But she loves stuff from DoorDash. And so I placed an order with DoorDash for some pizza from a popular make-it-yourself, you know, you pick all your toppings. They're really quite good most of the time.
You actually do it in the oven, you mean?
They do it in their oven.
Oh, okay. And then
they bring you the cooked pizza in a box.
Yeah. The old days.
Well, I was making the order, and the pizzas were expensive because they mark them up for DoorDash.
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
But apparently their margins are a little thin and they can't afford to pay their drivers more or something. Because they're really having a hard time finding drivers here, at least. I had one. We were about to place one order. It was like 90 minutes to deliver it. I went, I'm not that hungry. But anyway, I looked at the tip and it had defaulted to a 30% tip.
Gee. Woo.
30%.
Let's leave customer service alone today, shall we?
So I fixed that topic. And then the pizza gets there. One of the pizzas was done wrong. Okay. The guy who brought them, now these are pizzas. You know what a pizza is. You kind of get pizzas, right, Tom?
Yes.
Know a little bit about them. When you deliver a pizza to someone, how should they be held? In what angle? What angle? Horizontal? Or vertically?
Horizontal.
Vertical would do what to a pizza?
Kind of ruin it. Everything
kinda
falls off.
Kind of makes it squished down to one side. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Are you kidding me? You got one that was all squished down?
No, all three.
Oh, my goodness.
The guy had put them in the car, apparently, and set them in the seat.
Filed like a file?
Filed like files.
If I can ask, what was the grand total, by the way? And back to my $100.
Three pizzas, tax tip, all the accoutrement, $48.
Oh, okay. Well, that's still cheaper. So now you can do DoorDash twice. Then congratulations.
Well, no, actually, I can do it three times because I sent them a note and sent them pictures, and they said,
"How about
we give you $20 back? Here's $20."
Like the whole thing.
Well, all we right. could still Weird. We could still you could eat them kind of like a calzone,
jammed together.
Yeah, it was like a calzone,
all rolled up. Yuck.
But I want you to watch your DoorDash orders. That was the message. I didn't think to do this every single time. I could have been charged 30% tips all along and may not have noticed. So
that's a lot of money.
Check that default setting there. Set it. Check it. And if you have a student loan, please don't just say, "Oh my gosh, it's a $10,000 windfall. I'm going to go buy a car."
Yeah.
A very cheap used car. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do something really, really good for your future. Because the whole idea for taking out that student loan was, for most of you, for some of you, it was just an additional $10,000 to pay for parties for 4 years. But for some of you, it was $10,000 toward improving your future, right? Well, now that you're getting a break on that, use it to improve your future even more. Give yourself a real break down the road. If you're one of those people who thinks, "Oh, I might want to retire early." Well, great. Look at you've been given a $10,000 down payment on retiring early. This is a wonderful thing. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. Hey, blank, call 855-935-TALK. Fill in the blank. And you know what the blank is, or okay, blank.
Don't blankety blank me on this show, dude.
Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away. This is Talking Real Money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Unlike last Saturday when Don was here alone, the weather in the Puget Sound area where we do this show live is more miserable this weekend, and we appreciate that because people are calling, like Mark. Mark, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, guys. I just want to thank you for your patience helping out beginning investors. I'm trying to DIY this investing thing, and I just need to know, Don, you had mentioned you'd sold some double-digit losers. And my question is, do you only do that in brokerage accounts and there's no advantage to tax loss harvesting in IRAs?
That's correct.
Or is it both?
That's correct. No. It's just in an outside account, a non-tax advantaged account.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and just to close that out, you understand that, I mean, the whole aspect of the 30-day wash rule, the fact that you don't get to deduct all these losses depending on the size in 1 year, you can carry them forward. I think you can only deduct, what is it, 3,000? We could match it up with whatever.
Right, you can always match it against
year.
A gain. But the first 3,000 can go against income.
Yeah, so it's important to do it right, and then you're going to move it to another somewhat similar but dissimilar fund, and then you can move it back to the old fund after the 30 days are up.
That's it.
But not significantly identical or whatever the terminology.
Right. For example, if you had an S&P 500 fund and it was at a loss and you sold it and you bought another S&P 500 fund, that would be substantially identical. If, though, you sold an S&P 500 fund and bought somebody's growth and income fund or bought a total market fund even, which would be better, that would not be identical.
Excellent. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call so much. And now we have on the line Nick. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the show. Nick? Nick, just in the nick of time. Are you in the
Nick? Goodbye, Nick. Hello? Hear him.
I've got him up there.
I hear clicky sounds.
Nick! Rise and shine!
Nope. No more Nick.
You know, okay, I can't. So,
he's been nicked. That's a British term.
Fine, that's very nice.
For being stolen,
nice of you.
He's been nicked.
Yeah.
So they've nicked true. Nick. No more Nick. We're Nicholas.
You're really on today. I'm just going to take a seat over here and watch. This gets amusing.
We're Nicholas Nickleby. We're Nickelback. We're nickeled out. Never mind. What? Did you have something you wanted to add?
No, I have nothing to add.
No, there's nothing.
Who could add anything to that? No, not at all. No, back to, I mean, sort of, this is always the topic, right? Mutual fund selection. Because there's, what, 8,000 funds and how many ETFs? And so when you're doing it on your own, it's always so confusing to people.
There are too many mutual funds.
Way too many.
And you know, this question is, I've fielded this question probably 1,000 times. Well, how do I pick the best mutual fund?
Right.
Don't. Yeah. You don't. You don't pick the best. You get rid of all the worst. It makes it much easier. It leaves you with almost nothing. If you get rid of all the actively managed, well, there you go. That's a lot gone. Oh, let's get rid of all the commissioned. A, B, C shares, all of those. Get rid of all those.
C. Yep.
C, ABCs, all those.
Yep.
You get rid of all the funds with fees over 0.5% a year. All of them. Rid of all of them. That leaves you with probably a couple hundred funds. Not very
many.
And
even there, it's pretty easy to select because then you're just looking at a few asset classes. And part of it is what you've said this before, I think wisely. How much time do you want to spend on this? If you're doing it on your own and you don't want to spend a lot of time, you could do this well with three funds.
You could do this well with one. You could. When you're young.
What about the bond part? You mean
no,
like
when
a balanced
you're young,
index
like
fund?
If you're in your 20s and you're doing the Roth IRA, you just buy VT and then you stop listening, you go have fun. You stop listening to a boring old money show and just go do something fun. Go mosh pitting or something. That's what my daughter wanted to do last night. That's what she wanted
really?
To do. Yeah, she goes, do you want to go to this thing at House of Blues? It's like an emo party. And I looked it up online and I looked at the pictures and I went, no.
40 years ago.
What makes you think I would want to do that?
So no, she had to go on her own then?
I never went to a mosh party. I'm way too old for that. I mean, yeah, I went to concerts.
Yeah, that's more of an 80s thing. Yeah,
I went to concerts, but I didn't mosh. We didn't even know what there was no moshing when we were young men. We were moshless. No mo mosh. We were just mashed, but we weren't mosh. We were definitely mashed. 855-935-TALK. Call now. Tom's gone.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
So it's a smizzly day in Seattle. I mean, come on. It's a good time to call Talking Real Money. Yeah, escape the mizzle and make more money. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. You remember COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's still around.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to ignore it.
Look outside every day to check.
I try to forget.
I think it's still there.
But yeah. When COVID first reared its really incredibly ugly, nasty head, I remember making one of my really bad financial predictions. I predicted that AMC theaters were destined to fail. I mean, they were.
But you may still be right, by the way.
I know, but I haven't been right yet.
And
they were in debt up to their eyeball. They still are. And their stock was plunging. Until remember that crazy little meme thing where these guys who they call themselves apes. Now, right there, that implies we're not as bright as humans.
I doubt that's what they intended, but okay.
But that's what I draw from that. And they pushed in 2021, they pushed AMC's stock up, get this, 1,200%.
Sell.
Oh,
had a little adverse reaction there. Yeah, they and while doing all that, AMC was still at all the debt. It's
nobody was going. Now, and I mean, how many times have you been to the theater even since COVID has calmed down? I mean,
not many.
I've been once.
Top Gun. There.
Top Gun.
That was the one.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. That was the one.
I think we saw something else, but anyway. So now, just because you can't get any worse, they just this week, right, issued a new share class.
Oh well, wait. This is an interesting story. They tried to issue 500 million new shares in 2021 during the big excitement when the stock. Let's see, in June of 2021, AMC stock was trading at $54 a share. They wanted to right around that time, issue 500 million shares, which would have enabled them to completely wipe out their debt. But it also would have diluted the current shareholders' value way down. So they voted against it. They said, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. Now, today with AMC, well, actually, let's see, August 1st, AMC was trading at $22 a share. And back then, they said, let's issue a new class of share that the current shareholders don't get to vote on. Because they're all going to get one of these new classes.
I don't know how you do that.
It's called really good lawyers.
Yeah.
But here's what's
really...
Because
aren't you going to end up in court with all the people that are... Anyway.
I don't know. Yeah. But here's the irony. I love this. And Jason Zweig in his article didn't even mention this irony. The new shares are called AMC Preferred Equity Units. And what is their ticker symbol? APE. A-P-E.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. But
this is another reason not to own individual stocks. This is another reason to not make bets like this. By the way, fascinating in his article, he does point out that in 2020, senior management board of directors, they owned about 2.5% of the stock. Today, they own 0.2%. They got no ownership in the company.
No, because they have no faith whatsoever that it's going to survive.
I mean, and this wacky, the guy's CEO. There's a long write-up in Bloomberg Businessweek about him last week. He ran out with the money that they raised and bought like a gold mine, and he did all these weird... I don't know. It's just odd. But again, when I read it, I think this is another reason you never want to buy an individual firm, because this has been one weird
movie to watch, man. And again, I mentioned that August 1st, let's see, this is August 27th when we're doing the show live. Yeah. So 26 days ago, the stock was trading for $22 a share.
Yeah.
It closed Friday at $9 a share.
Wow.
That's less than a month.
Yeah. Well, more than had these weird moves up and down. As you said, 1,200% in 1 year.
This is it is truly the poster child for why you want to avoid individual stocks. But there's more than this. Any company, anytime, no matter how brilliant. And, you know, AMC Theater was the leader in theatrical presentations in really American entertainment for a very long period of time. They were based out of Kansas City. They were this behemoth that was acquiring properties everywhere. They built beautiful theaters. They were innovative. They had great screens and great sound systems. But it just goes to show you, things you cannot even imagine can kill an individual stock, but are unlikely to kill the whole economy.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
You have a choice. You can continue to listen to us jabber away about money and movies, or you can call us and listen to us jabber away about your problems and your issues and your monetary concerns.
Financial issues. We're not going the other ones.
You never know.
No.
If it's an interesting enough issue, we might.
Nope.
Yeah, come on. I want to. I played a psychiatrist on the radio once. Actually, I did.
You did the Kelsey Grammer thing or something?
I did. I played a psychiatrist or a psychologist on the radio when I worked for KOA in Denver.
I could see you doing that.
You know, I filled in for Dr. Andrea Van Steenhuis.
What was the most common question?
I don't remember. That was like, I was in my 20s or early 30s. That was before.
What do you think the most common question would be?
I don't know. What the heck is wrong with me?
That's always my question.
Yeah. What the heck is wrong with me?
That's why I don't do very well with all that stuff, as you know.
Right.
You don't want to open
You are not touchy-feely. No.
That guy.
All right. So here's what we're going to do now.
Yeah.
Because people call us 24/7 at 855-935-TALK, which is the exact same number you can use to call us live on Saturdays, which you can do right now if you want. 855-935-8255. But they call and leave questions and comments and things. And so we just kind of hang on to those for times like this.
Hi, Don and Tom. This is Jeff. I was the one that called last Saturday and asked you about the new lifetime income illustration that's now part of 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and any other plans I've left out. And it looks like it was required by the SECURE Act that was passed in, I think, 2019. My question is, I'm still trying to figure out where they're talking about estimate using gender-neutral mortality assumptions established by the Internal Revenue Service. I did some research this week, and only thing I could find was like a decimal equivalent. And my basic question is, if I was 67 today, how many more years do the gender-neutral mortality assumptions say that I would live as a man? But I guess they're using gender-neutral. So is that 15 more years after age 67, or is it 25 more years?
I'm going to pause it right there.
I think I already know the answer. Well, I think right now the life expectancy in the great United States of America is 79.
Is that from the IRS gender-neutral mortality table?
It's probably higher.
Yeah.
Because remember what they want you to have to take money out of your retirement accounts and pay them at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it. But for you, sir, I'm just going to make a guess. I'm going to say you got like 6 years. There you go.
You're offing him in 6 years?
Non-medical opinion. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just got this feeling.
This poor guy.
Yeah.
Probably just drove off the road into a tree
so
and finished it all.
You should just take all the money right now. I'm kidding. I just want to. That's how I always want to answer a question like that. Well, how long do I have? You got 12 years.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Could have got an hour. You only got an hour. Enjoy it. Live life at its fullest.
What would you do if you only had an hour?
I can't even tell you what I would do.
An hour?
No,
that's a different show.
I can't tell you what I would do. If I only had an hour, I can't tell you what I would do. All right, so let's.
The, First question I've had. That's the first question I've had about that income illustrator.
And it's the second time in 2 weeks.
After age 67. That's what I was trying to find. I called my 403B7 provider. That's Newport Group. And they're kind of like the arm of the Vanguard Group. And they sent me over to Vanguard to talk to their annuity department to find out that information. But I didn't want to sit on the phone for 45 minutes waiting to see if I could get into Vanguard. Not throwing any dirt on Vanguard, but they're kind of a victim of their success.
It's another story entirely.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a different whole take.
Yeah, they definitely are.
This is interesting.
There's more.
There's more.
I just paused for a minute because I thought the Vanguard thing gave us an opportunity to comment on Vanguard's troubles.
I'll throw dirt on them. Yeah,
Vanguard is really, they are having a very difficult time
with their customer service.
It's been rough, but it's also that way.
We had a question yesterday.
It's also that way at Home Depot.
Oh, please, let's not go there. We had the question this week on the Vanguard thing, remember, where they want to move all of your individual mutual funds into a brokerage account because they want to do less record keeping.
Yep. Continuing.
Sorry for the long rant, but that's what I'm looking for. I'll keep researching online. I'm sure there's an answer. Anyways, keep up all the great work.
There's
and
more.
What you were telling the audience last Saturday on your show when you were riding solo is truly correct. In the school industry, the school employees, regardless if it's the certificated teachers or the classified or the non-teaching, the sharks in suits are out there attacking people and selling them inappropriate financial products. That happened to me back in 1997.
And you'd think we would have learned our lesson.
Anyways, happy note, I was able to get out of that plan. And at a fixed annuity, had to pay some stupid tax on the surrender charge and got Vanguard on my district vendor list. And I've been in Vanguard for 20 years. And
wait, you got Vanguard on your list at your school district?
That is hard to do.
Good for you.
That's a big deal.
And if you had a hand in doing that, then all of the other people who work for that school district owe a huge debt of gratitude to you for doing that, because you're helping people not just at the moment you did it, but for generations practically to come, because these annuities, these 403B annuities are just everywhere, and they're horrible. They're horrible.
I retired, but I don't call it retirement. I call it graduating from the world of trading your time for money. So now I don't have to do that. Anyways, thanks for listening. And I appreciate all the work that you do. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
That's all we do.
Hi, Don and Tom.
Oh, wait. I don't want you to
hey, Don,
don't
Tom.
Say it again.
Yeah. By the way, this is one of the certainties about retirement.
That you're going to stop working for money?
No, that the withdrawal, the correct withdrawal rate will only be known after you're gone.
That's true.
You don't really know. I mean, it's all a guess and a gamble to some extent, right? We tell you, 3 or 4%, maybe 5% if you want to be aggressive.
And that is, by the way, the whole annuity dilemma. The immediate.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. There are so many annuities. I know you guys get really confused by the index annuity, the variable annuity, the fixed annuity, the immediate annuity. There's so many flavors. Thank you, stupid insurance industry. You could come up with different names, couldn't you? Anyway, that's the problem with trying to decide on whether you should get an immediate annuity or not. It's the life expectancy thing.
No, I agree. You don't know. So back to Jeff's kind of overall question, what number, how should you figure it out?
You're asking me?
Well, I don't, anybody.
You don't know the answer.
Room. No, I don't, because there isn't a correct number. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a variable. I'm looking around the room. Maybe somebody else will answer.
Herein lies the biggest problem with giving financial advice of any kind. The future cannot be known with any degree of certainty. And certainly to know when we're, each of us, going to die, well, it's inevitable we're going to, but the when is up for grabs unless you have a terminal disease, and even then they can be wrong. You do not know when you're going to go. And so therefore, the decisions have to be made for the in the best interest of your entire family and life.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestory advisors help you save your future at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And really what I was getting to and what we are trying to get to every time we talk about these kinds of issues, about what is the right choice for the future, is the concept of having a plan. And it doesn't even have to be a complicated plan. You don't have to have a full-fledged, you know, $2,000 financial plan. If you just have the beginnings of a plan, that's just some guidelines, you can go a lot farther with your money into the future with a more comfortable approach. And that's why we suggest that even if you're not going to ever use an investment advisor, if you need a little help trying to devise the plan, use our advisors for free. You just set up an appointment with them at Vestory.com and you won't even get a sales pitch. Vestory.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary, investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.